Just go briefly over the personal information again. When did you join the pirate organization?
In May of 1964. I joined, and we were still at Forbes Field. And at Forbes Field, we had a very small staff. I think there were probably 25 people altogether. And I went into the public relations department, but we also did group sales and community nights and promotions and speakers, anything that came along. We did it in PR, and there were just two of us, the boss and myself.
How big is it now?
When we moved to Three Rivers, the staff enlarged. We probably went up maybe to 75 at that point. And since then, it's enlarged even more. I think we're probably up to about 150 a while ago, but that has cut back again because of the strike situation and the club for sale. But it's just grown and grown, all areas. And every department seems to have, now there's a group sales department, there's a community relations department, there's a promotions department.
More specialized.
Everything is has its own area.
That's interesting, too. When you joined the organization, did you have an interest in baseball?
Very much. I've always been a fan. And I applied for the job a couple times, and I always got the form letter back saying there are no openings, but we'll keep your name on file. And fortunately, I worked for an ad agency in downtown Pittsburgh. And one of our clients was Mellon Bank, and I was scheduling commercials for Mellon Bank. And they happened to be a sponsor of Pirate Baseball on radio and TV. And my name was on the commercials as a contact if there was ever a problem. And that's how I got to know Bob Prince, who was the voice of the Pirates for many, many years. We became very good friends, and he knew of my interest in the game. And he said, someday there will be an opening at the Pirates, and I'll see that you get a chance at the job. So it happened, and the girl that had the job had been there about 11 years, and everyone thought that she would die there because she was such a fan. But she was from Philadelphia. She wanted to go back to Temple and further her education, so there was an opening.
Oh, fun.
So I had my interview at a ball game one Saturday afternoon, and I got the job.
Oh, that's great. You've been here ever since.
Been here ever since,
30 years later. And I was going to ask you about specifically your duties, but you kind of went over that now.
It was basically secretarial, although one big part of the job was statistics. Oh. I had to keep score of every game, so I had to go to every game. I had to update the statistics every day and prepare press notes for the next home game. And in those days, I didn't have an adding machine or a calculator. I didn't have an electric typewriter. We didn't have a Xerox machine. There was no such thing as a fax machine. Everything was very manual.
You had to be very well organized.
And you really had to know the game. You know, you had to know how to keep score, and you had to follow records and keep on top of things for the media. And I hated math when I was in school. I just despised math. And here I am in a job where I have to use it every day.
I have a statistics class now. I can sympathize with you. It's very frustrating.
But it did keep me. The job kept my interest there all the time, and I always knew what was going on, and I could answer questions. If we had so many phone calls, you were ready and prepared to answer questions from media and from fans. So
well, you had the overall perfect perspective of everything that was going on. Let's say, but over the years, besides the growth of, you know, the behind-the-scenes organization here, what other changes have you noticed? Like the focus of the PR. Who were the fans? Were the fans the same 30 years ago as they are now?
No, it's changed considerably. The game, I think we all know, has become a big business. And there's so much money involved. When I first joined the club, the players were very close to the players. You could deal with them directly. You could get them to make appearances for minimal fees. They were always available, and they were always there. Now, it's almost impossible to get a player to make an appearance unless it's on a charity basis for a charity organization. But to just make an appearance as a speaker or to sign autographs for a couple hours, there's a fee that has to be paid. And that has taken some of that real close fan interest away, I think. There's not that closeness anymore. Mm-hmm. We've had an ownership change over the years, too, which has affected a lot. When I joined the club, the Galbraith family owned the club, and they owned it for over 40 years when they sold it in 1985. And then we were purchased by a conglomerate of 12 or 14 business people, mm-hmm. and that changed it considerably. All of a sudden, we had 14 bosses to report to.
Oh.
And it's been quite a change that I've seen over the years.
You know, a lot of people say that the players have benefited mm-hmm. over the last 30 years as far mm-hmm. as salary and the treatment
right.
you know, that they had. Because you see, you know, films of the old days mm-hmm. where they're all crammed on an old bus and stitching
right.
each other
exactly.
up and things like that. But there had to have been a turning point
mm-hmm.
when things got, okay, everyone is pretty well satisfied here, mm-hmm. and, you know, what's expected of you as far as personal appearances mm-hmm. or whatever is something changed,
mm-hmm.
you know, at that point, whether it was free agency,
mm-hmm.
when that came into, what do you think that
Well,
point
I think
was?
When they organized, when they got their union, that's when it really started to change.
Mm-hmm.
And all the players have an agent or an attorney who deals for that person.
Mm-hmm.
When Joe Brown was our general manager, he could see this coming. And when he finally retired, he did so before it really took off. Because he was of the opinion if he couldn't deal face-to-face with the player and negotiate a contract,
mm-hmm.
that he didn't want any part of it. If he had to deal with an agent as a middle person, that just took away a lot of the warmth and the personal feeling towards it all. So I think that's when it started to change, when this union was formed. And granted, the players certainly have benefited. They have.
Financially.
Yes,
they have.
Very much so. But it has taken away that closeness, I think.
Well, what about public opinion towards the players?
Well, I think it's hot and cold. If you're winning, I don't think they really care what they're making or what they're doing. But if you're not winning all the time, then they start seeing all these other little things that affect it, and they start blaming this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been fortunate that we've had many good years here as far
mm-hmm.
as winning or getting close to winning. And but this last year or two, when we lost to Atlanta for the third time, then it was a real downer. It just seemed to never pick up again.
Do you really see waves of attendance according
oh,
to the
yes,
win and loss?
Yes,
you can
right.
really see the difference?
Definitely. Now, we had a good advance sale for this past season because we were going to have the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get a ticket to the All-Star game, you had to be a season customer, really.
Oh, yes.
So there were many different types of season ticket packages available to the fans. And there were a lot of advance tickets sold on that premise.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be difficult to get a lot of those people back. I think when this is finally settled, there's going to be a real selling job. And I think that we anticipate that for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
We have to build it back up again in many ways.
The fan loyalty?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Because they feel betrayed. The season just shut off August 12th, and then mm-hmm. no postseason, no World Series since 1904. They're bitter. They really are. And a lot of us are, too.
Well, I can see that. And who do you blame for that?
That's right. Both sides are involved. I mean, they both have their plate on the table, and somebody's going to have to give. Something on both sides is going to have to give.
Is it a matter of just too many people asking for too much?
No, I don't think it's that. I think the players don't want to give up anything that they have. And the owners have given and given and given all these years. And now they've realized, hey, wait a minute, something has to change here.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're continuing to give all the time, and it's not available. The money's just not going to be there, especially in small markets like ours. So somebody has to say, okay, this is enough. And the owners have consistently said they need a salary cap. Mm-hmm. And whether that's going to happen or not, I don't know. It has to happen in some form. Whether this new offer that they've made in recent days is going to happen or not, I don't know. We don't really get that close to knowing what's in that package. We just have to know what we read in the paper and wait and see.
Well, throughout this whole season, what have you done on the side of public relations? I'm sure you're trying to keep the love of the game alive,
right,
for when it does come back.
Right.
How do you do that?
It's pretty difficult. It really is. Because we can't use the players in any way because they're on strike.
Mm-hmm.
So we have no contact with them, and they wouldn't be available to do anything anyway under the circumstances. So this is one area where we have used the former players a lot. We have about 25 that live in this area, and if we get requests for speakers or assemblies or things like this, we try to put somebody there. But mostly it's front office people that go out and try to convince the public that we will have a baseball season in 95 and somebody will be playing ball. You just have to try your best. It's difficult because, first of all, you don't know who's going to be on your team.
Mm-hmm. And where they'll be.
Or? Right. We have a lot of preparation to get ready for spring training. We have to write a media guide and do a yearbook. And you don't know who to write about. You have a 40-man roster, but you don't know if those players are going to be tendered contracts. Will they come to camp? You don't know if they'll cross the line and come. So you're really at a standstill in a lot of areas. But I have noticed this off-season that I have not gotten a request from the public for players to appear. I get all the requests for the former players through my office, and they haven't been there this year. I've had very few. So this shows me that the fans, even for the old-time players, are losing their interest in the game. So there's going to be a big selling job.
I don't envy your position. No. I think you're right. It's going to take a lot
really,
to turn people around.
It is.
And depending on the attitude,
mm-hmm,
of when they come back,
that's right.
And this is really complicated with the Pirate organization.
Exactly.
Because of the sale.
Right.
And the new stadium.
Right.
We're talking about doing that. And
personally, I don't think we need a new stadium, but they haven't asked me. But it makes me laugh that 25 years ago when we were moving here, this was the greatest thing ever built,
mm-hmm.
It had everything that anybody would ever want and need, and now all of a sudden 25 years later it's out of date. I feel that there are things that they can do to the stadium to make it more compatible to what the fan is looking for. There are things they could change rather than build a whole new arena someplace. I just can't see it.
Is the problem that people think it's too big here, or
ever since we've opened, they've complained about traffic and parking and one thing or another.
Mm-hmm.
And there again, it makes me laugh because the football fans come and you don't hear any complaints about waiting in traffic after a game. I don't know if it's a different breed of fan or what it is. The Civic Arena is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You hear no publicity about bad traffic jams after an event at the arena. But any time that they're held up here after a baseball game, I guess maybe it's because we play so many games. We have an 81 home schedule, 81 games.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Or it may just be this public opinion that has,
mm-hmm,
been growing, more sour,
mm-hmm,
toward it. You hate to see it affect the game itself.
Yes.
Would you say the game itself really hasn't changed?
The game hasn't changed. No, it's become more scientific in a lot of ways. The players are certainly better prepared physically. They have all kinds of equipment and training available to them that the old-timers didn't have. Their travel plans are first class all the way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's strange.
Do you think it's 30 years ago, if we were going to play, you'd even call it a richer club at the time. Like now, when you look at a club that is buying salaries, like the Mets, you know, I guess they're probably at the top of the heap there. And a smaller club like the Pirates, who did, you know, have good players, but it's not the same caliber as far as salary goes. Has that really made a difference? I know with the Mets it hasn't this last couple of years.
You can't really buy a team. You really can't. If you have good talent and you have good managers and coaches to bring them along, if it's there, it'll come through. Because I'm firmly convinced you can't buy a team like the Yankees have tried to do, or Oakland or some of the other clubs. If you have the right group of fellows that are dedicated, if you have a good farm system, good minor league organization, if you build that up, you're going to be fine. And I think that we're doing that here. I think our minor leagues and farms have really been working hard in the last few years, and they've built up a pretty good pool of players. And they want to play. They're ready. They're anxious. The young guys are ready to go.
Could it come to that next
season?
Sure it could. All new players?
Sure it could.
And these guys would be
able to see? There again, I think the fans would come out and see that. I think they're ready for this. I think they know that you won't win right away, but they would appreciate somebody hustling and playing a good game. And eventually they're going to be great.
Do you think, especially the fans in Pittsburgh, they kind of like that underdog team?
Yes, they do.
For a couple of years.
Yeah, right. But just don't make it too long.
Well, I remember in the 70s, I used to work right in town, and we came to games at least once a week. And that was the time of Dave Parker was here, Sturgill was still playing, and it was a very warm, loyal feeling that we had to the team.
The 70s were fun.
They were winning too, but even those previous seasons working up to it, you know, you could just see the intensity and the feeling.
It takes a while.
I went to a game last year. I just didn't sense it. But all this stuff is in the air about
that's
the salaries.
That's right. That's right.
And they get resentment, and they're booing Barry Bonds when he comes out on the field.
And it's been his attitude, the way he mouths off to people and to media. He's an outstanding athlete. I mean, he has all the tools in the world, but he's just got to learn to control his mouth. And be decent to people. And he's the idol of a lot of little kids. They think he's just the greatest.
And he could be.
That's right. But he's got to show some compassion. The players have to do that. They have to use their PR a little bit.
It's a business.
Yes, it is.
I think one thing we've been fortunate in this area is in the managing, you know, of our team from Murtaugh, you know, to Leland.
We've had some great managers. Chuck Tanner. And Leland has been outstanding. He was, you know, just a minor league coach when he was brought in as a manager here. And nobody had ever really heard of him. But he has a way about him, and the players really respect him. And they'll play for him.
And if someone comes across with disrespect towards him, as, you know, one of the last couple of years of Bonds, as we talked about, had, it seems that the fans will turn, you know, they'll stand behind a player who may not be having a good season.
Right.
But if they do something towards Leland or make a remark about Pittsburgh, you've lost your support.
That's right.
I hope that stays the same in this town, that we still have that feeling.
I think it will. I think Pittsburgh's, we've had baseball for, 108, 109 years. I can't imagine it leaving. I just can't imagine that happening. That's why I felt that we would eventually get a new buyer and we would stay here. I never felt threatened that we would leave.
Well, there really isn't much fear of that now. That's part of the deal. They must stay here.
Right. That's right.
And what about the stadium? And is that part of the?
I think it's not. I don't think it's going to be in written form that will happen. But I think it's probably a good faith offering that possibly there will be a new stadium. So
a lot happening in the next couple of years. A lot different from Forbes Field.
Oh, it sure is. It sure is.
When you worked there, I had heard one of the local talk shows, Myron Cope, worked there also. And he was very young at the time. He was a teenager. And he would sell hot dogs or pop or whatever he could sell. But he talked about the awful conditions that they worked under. They put them in the dungeon, they used to call it. And if you didn't, you were there for 10 hours. And if you didn't work, you had to stay. You couldn't watch the game. And he thinks that was when the unions came in. That's when things got better for everybody. Now you think it's gone past the point of helping and gone...
I think it's gone a little bit beyond... sure, things can still be improved in some areas, but I think you have to have a limit on everything. But maybe I'm of the old school, I don't know.
So it's actually the money that is the changing point, then,
would you say? I think it is.
Not conditions or nothing in the game.
No, I think it's definitely the money. And, of course, the big salaries create problems of... You have to raise your ticket prices or your food prices or the parking prices. Everything goes up in accordance, and it's got to stop someplace.
How badly has that affected the attendance?
Some people feel that it's been quite a bit, but I don't know. I think if people really want to come to a ball game, they're going to pay the ticket price, and they may not come as often. The family of four or whatever, they can still come. They could sit in general admission and have a good evening at a reasonable price. But if they want a box seat, they're probably not going to come more than two or three times as a group. But
has this inspired a lot of things like family night, club night?
Sure,
you know, which
sure.
Seems to go over real well. You have a more of an attendance on
right.
that night.
See, we never used to have promotions like this, but. Once we got over here, we had to do something to fill these seats. And the Galbraiths really didn't promote that much because in those days you didn't have to. But once we got over here, they realized that you're going to have to change your thinking and market it a little different. And that's when we started all the different promotions. And they usually had them on weekends or Friday nights or Sundays. And then in recent years, we started the middle of the week family nights or buck nights, and they're very popular. They really are.
Well, I think you can come and enjoy a game and
sure.
not have to stay home for the next
right.
2 weeks.
That's right.
Let's see. I just want to talk a little bit about the image of the game and all the problems you talked about, you know, with the union and the free agency and this pull between the owners and the players, not just in Pittsburgh. How do you think the image of the game, from the fans' point of view, from what you're hearing and the feedback, you know, has it changed? Do people still love baseball? Is it America's sport?
It's going to have a pretty rough race, I think, right now. I think so many people are turned off. Because for years and years and years, baseball was the number one game. I don't know if we're going to come out number one right away. If they don't settle this, and if we don't have a major league season next year, it's really going to be a rough battle, I think. But if the players do come back, I think the fans will come back. I feel sure they will all over the country, although you hear a lot of them say they'll never go to another ball game, and they could care less. I think once the players go to camp and you start spring training and all of this starts up again, I think your good fans will come back, your basic fans. It's going to take a while. I don't care what way it ends up. It's going to take a while.
Do you think going to the farm clubs and to the minor league players, if that's even legal, if they could just do a replacement, would that...
I think it'll help. Yeah, I don't know that it's not going to be overwhelming, I don't think, right away. They're going to probably wait and see just how interesting it is. But it's going to take a while, in my opinion.
Well, you've got time.
So. That's right.
And I think baseball will be around for a long, long time.
Oh, I do
one
too.
Way or the other.
I can't imagine it dying. When you looked at that baseball by Ken Burns and saw they had their problems in their day too.
I was going to ask you that. Is there anything that's happened in the history in this area to compare with this year? For the last 2 years, maybe, between the sale and the stadium and the strike?
I don't know, but when I watched it, I was surprised at some of the things that they were having problems with in those days. To us now, some of them may seem very minor, but in that time, it was probably a pretty major thing. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised at some of the things that the players were complaining about at that time that I wasn't even aware of. They wanted to be organized in some way or another in those days, but it never happened.
He really focused a lot on racism, too.
He did. Yes, he did.
And I don't know if that's not a factor to the game.
I don't think it is. I don't feel that here in Pittsburgh anyway, because we've had some very good black athletes, some outstanding ones with Clemente and Stargell, et cetera. And they certainly were behind them all the way. So I don't think that that's a problem with us at all.
So they're having some good changes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Definitely.
Okay. Well, I think that pretty much tells me what I need to know.
Okay. I hope I've helped you.
You have. It's nice hearing from the other side.
Mm-hmm.